ओ भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय from the seventh canto, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe, which is chapter 4, text 38. Is that correct? 38? Okay. Asina Paryatan Ashnan Shayana Prapiban Bruvan Nanu Sandata Itani Govinda Parirambita. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna. Thus, being always embraced by the Lord, he did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking, and talking, were being automatically performed. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A small child, while being cared for by his mother, does not know how the needs of the body for eating, sleeping, lying down, passing water, and evacuating are being fulfilled. He is simply satisfied to be on the lap of his mother. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj was exactly like a small child being cared for by Govinda. The necessary activities of his body were performed without his knowledge. As a father and mother care for their child, Govinda cared for Prahlad Maharaj, who remained always absorbed in thoughts of Govinda. This is Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of perfection in Krishna consciousness. So, next to the last sentence in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, this is Krishna consciousness. And of course, the verse is, Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna. So, this is all he thought about, was Krishna. So by just thinking about Krishna all the time, 24 hours a day, he did not think about the different things that he was doing, how things were going on. He wasn't concerned about them. He wasn't worried about them. He didn't even realize how they were going on, but they were going on just by being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada once said, maybe more than once, but said that you can forget everything. Just remember Krishna. So this is what Prahlad Maharaj was doing. He was just remembering Krishna. So this takes some faith that if I just try remembering Krishna, then everything else is going to work out fine. If I just take that step in making that effort to think of Krishna, in difficulties or not difficulties, just thinking of him, try to think of him all day. This is Krishna consciousness. And by being absorbed in Krishna, Krishna also here is embracing Prahlad Maharaj. So he's being embraced by Govinda, just like the child. Also, another nice example is a small child, while being cared for by his mother, does not know how the needs of the body for eating, sleeping, lying down, passing water, and evacuating are being fulfilled. He is simply satisfied to be in the lap of his mother. So just like a child, the small child who's completely dependent on the parents completely take care of all of their needs. And as the child grows older, becomes more independent, the parents don't take care of them as much as they did. So similarly, we have to become completely dependent on Krishna for everything. We have to be like a small child that has nothing else, just Krishna. There is these six signs or symptoms of surrender, where the first one is to always remember Krishna. And the second one is never forget him. Always be meek and humble. Always depend on his mercy. Also, always be dependent on him. constantly being dependent on him. We're depending on him for everything. Also, when we chant japa, Prabhupada says you should chant your japa like a baby crying for its mother. So when a baby is crying for his mother, he's just crying, thinking of the one thing. There's only one thing that's going to satisfy him. He doesn't think of anything else. So when we're chanting japa, we should be so absorbed in the chanting. We shouldn't be thinking of anything else. We should just be thinking of Krishna. So, of course, this takes practice. It's not something that's just going to happen overnight. Most of the time we're chanting, our mind wanders here and there. So we have to try to bring our mind back, try to hear the chanting. Try to chant with that same intensity as the baby crying for its mother. That's the way we should be chanting. So that's how dependent Prahlad Maharaj was on the Lord. He was so dependent that he didn't, you know, things were going on with his body and he wasn't even aware of how these are happening. Kind of like, I don't know about in India, because driving in India is something it takes a lot of skill and concentration. But in America, you can drive somewhere and you're not even thinking one bit of your driving. You could be thinking of all kinds of nonsense, so many things. But yet, then you wind up, you get to the destination somehow. So we have to be just absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and then somehow or other, everything will work out. We'll get to the destination. Of course, the destination ultimately is go home back to Godhead. And Krishna says how if, what is it, verse? Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. And what's the next part? Then I will, before you will come to me, something else. Being completely absorbed in me, yes, surely you will come to me. Actually, that's very good. Being completely absorbed in me. And this is exactly the words used here that Prabhupada uses. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna. Completely absorbed in Krishna. Surely you will come to Krishna. So, we have a long way to go before at least most of us, have a long way to go before we're completely absorbed in Krishna. But we have to start somewhere. We have to start working at it. We have to make an experiment. We're making an experiment when we first start chanting Hare Krishna. We're making experiments. So similarly, we have to make an experiment in trying. Let me just try as much as I can for one day to just think of Krishna and not be concerned with anything else and see if things work. See if things go on. Just think of Krishna. He also says, in all your activities and for the results, just depend upon me. Work always under my protection, and in such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. And Krishna is talking to Arjuna on a battlefield, going to fight a war. And he's supposed to be thinking of Krishna all the time. In all your activities and for the results, just depend upon me. Worship me. In all your activities and for the results, just depend upon me. And always work under my protection in such devotional service. Be fully conscious of me. So he's supposed to be fully conscious of Krishna while he's fighting a war. We don't have a war that we're fighting with some enemy that I better pay full attention to what I'm doing. We have some different things. And still, Krishna's telling Arjuna to always think of me during this whole war. While you're fighting your enemies, think of me. And Arjuna, of course, follows Krishna's instructions. He accepts what Krishna says and he does it. So we should at least try to just think of Krishna. Try to be absorbed in thinking of Krishna and doing our service and see how it works. See if I can actually get my service accomplished. We have to do our service. In the beginning, we may just do the service and not think of Krishna. But even that is helpful because we're doing it for Krishna. There was one time, devotee, Srila Prabhupada sent a devotee, I think, to buy an eggplant, a vegetable. And the devotee went, and then he came back, and he was telling Srila Prabhupada how the whole time that he went to get this particular vegetable, He was thinking of so many nonsense things. He was thinking of all kinds of Maya. He just, you know, because he went out of the temple and he had to go to the store and he was just in Maya. And he was telling Prabhupada all this. And Prabhupada said, did you get the eggplant? And he said, yes. He said, very good. So even if we're not always thinking of Krishna, if we're still doing out, there are 9 processes of devotional service. If we're engaged somehow in that, in one of those, at least one or more of those processes, then we will be protected. As long as we stay in Krishna consciousness. Is this the example of fully Krishna conscious? Prabhupada gave the example of a glass of milk in an inky atmosphere. Now, I'm just going to try to, you know, if you have a glass turned upside down, let's just say you have a glass turned upside down and it's full of milk and the atmosphere all around it is ink. That glass is full. If you stay full with Krishna, the ink is like Maya. Maya cannot get in. But immediately, if you turn that glass a little, tilt it, then the milk will come out and it would immediately get filled. That space gets filled with the ink, which is like Maya. So if we stay full with Krishna, then there's no room for Maya. But if we just slack off a little in any extra space, the Maya is going to immediately try to come in. She may come in, in a very innocent way that doesn't seem so bad. Well, it's not that bad. But that's just the beginning. She's not going to let up. Once she takes a little, then it's a little more next time. Then you become a little weaker, and then she could do even more. And then you're walking out the gate and looking for something else. Of course, that's an exaggeration. But the point is that Maya is not going to let up. So you can't let up. You have to be on guard. Srila Prabhupada also says when we become devotees, it's like declaring war on Maya. So previously, Maya, we were completely surrendered to her. She didn't bother with us much. Now we're declaring war on her. So she's going to fight back with different weapons. She has a lot of different weapons. Whatever the perfect weapon, everyone has a different weapon she might use on you because we're all individuals. So we have to be very, very careful in spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada said spiritual life is like a razor's edge. A razor's edge is very sharp. And if you just slack off a little bit, you get cut. So you have to be very, very careful. So here, this nice example of Prahlad Maharaj being so absorbed in Krishna that he wasn't even conscious of any of his external functions or activities. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of perfection in Krishna consciousness. So this is the example. So when we have an example, it's there for us to follow. So it's not like, well, that's Prahlad Maharaj or, that's in an advanced stage. We have to try to follow the example. Srila Prabhupada preached the highest philosophy, preached complete surrender. Now, you may not be able to completely surrender, but you can at least try to surrender a little more. Try to think about Krishna a little more. Make an experiment. If you can't do it for 24 hours, try it for 1 hour. I want to think of Krishna for the next hour, and I'm going to try to do all my service and not forget Krishna. Try to think of Krishna. Make the experiment. See if you can do it. And guarantee there's no loss. There's no loss or diminution. If you're thinking of Krishna, and as Prabhupada says, even if you forget everything else, if you remember Krishna, then that's fine. So this absorption in Krishna has to come there. We have to try to come to that platform of being absorbed in Krishna. Like a sponge absorbs water, we have to be absorbed completely in Krishna. Does anyone have any questions? Comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very nice class. Prabhuji, can you tell us something about the preaching that is going on in Hartford, Connecticut?
Well, Hartford, Connecticut, it's a small temple. We need to get a bigger temple, though, for our Sunday programs because it gets too full. We get about 60 people on Sunday and maybe 70 people. And it's very crowded. It's not that big of a place. So we're working at trying to raise some funds for another temple. And if Krishna wants, then it will happen. I don't see any material way it can happen. But if Krishna wants, it will happen. But we mainly have just a Sunday program. Of course, we have Gorni Thai deities, we have Jagannath deities. We have a little Lord Narsingadev. We have 41 Shalagram Shilas and one Govardhan Shila. it's kind of small. Lately, every week that I'm there, we're in between. Hartford is in between Boston and New York. And every week I go to Boston for a couple of days and try to help that temple because they need more devotees and there's so much going on there. They need help. So I go there for 2 or 3 days every week. Boston is nice if anybody would like to go there. They can use some devotees. I can tell a story about Srila Prabhupada. I did Sankirtan book distribution for many years, but while in Boston, I was doing traveling Sankirtan, and I met someone who, in a mall, we're distributing in a mall. You can't legally do it. It's kind of like undercover. So I'm distributing books in this mall, and I see somebody with a bead bag, and this was like in 1973. I think it was 1973 or maybe 1972. And it was very unusual to see anyone with a bead bag. So I stopped him and asked him, and he said he just came from the New York temple, and Srila Prabhupada was there. And I've had experience before with the New York temple when Bali Madan was the president, that when Prabhupada would come, they would not let any of the other temples know that he was there. So they keep them all for themselves, and it didn't get too overcrowded. So I knew this, so I called the temple, and I tried, I acted as if I wasn't a regular devotee. And I said, I heard your spiritual master is there. And they said, well, he's leaving today. I said, well, what time is he leaving? And they told me. I said, well, thank you. Then I hung up, and then I got in the van. I was the van leader, so I traveled to the different places, picked up the devotees. And at the time, we didn't wear devotional clothes. For a few years, we wore devotional clothes on Sankirtan. But then we found you could do better wearing what we call karmi clothes, you know, just regular pants and shirt. So we had our karmi clothes on. So while we're driving in the van, we're changing clothes into our devotional clothes, driving really fast too down the highway. So then we get to the temple, and Prabhupada didn't leave yet, so it was very fortunate. So we're waiting outside for Prabhupada. Actually, I asked Shruti Kirti if I could carry Prabhupada's bags down, and he said no. So I didn't get that mercy. So we waited, and then Prabhupada came down. We offered obeisances. He got in his car and started heading out for the airport. I immediately got in my van. I drive pretty fast, and anyway, similar not exactly like they drive here, but there's some similarities. So I got in the van and we start. It was myself, Agrani, and Rupa. These two other devotees on my party. And we start driving in Prabhupada's car, another car, and then us. And I stay in third place, second place behind Prabhupada. And we're driving to the airport, Kennedy Airport. And as we're driving, the other car in front of us moves out and goes on the side to look at Srila Prabhupada. And I just pulled right up and filled in that space so he couldn't get back in there. So then we're right behind Prabhupada. And this devotee, Rupa, is saying, go, let's look at Prabhupada. I said, no, we're supposed to follow in his footsteps. So we just stayed behind. So then when we got to the airport, Srila Prabhupada, his car went right up to the terminal because he's going to be flying out, and we had to park. So you probably don't know maybe you can imagine the New York airport is so crowded. You never find the parking spot. It takes 10 minutes, half hour to find a parking spot. When we pull into the parking lot, I prayed, please, Krishna, please give us a parking spot. And as soon as we pulled in, there was a spot right there. It's the first time and only time it's ever happened in my life in the New York airport. And there was a spot, so we parked, and we jumped out, and we ran. And we ran fast as we could into the airport. That time they gave Srila Prabhupada a room. And we got into the room with Srila Prabhupada, all three of us. And there was a couch over here on this side and a couch on this side. And then the door was here where you come in. Oh, I kind of skipped one thing. I got to go back. But in the morning, Srila Prabhupada saw Radha Govindaji, the deities in New York, and he's commented how beautiful they look. So they took a picture of the deities. Now, they didn't have digital cameras. They didn't have computers. They had the old-fashioned way. But they took a picture, and they had the New York press. They used to print the books. They had a photography place. And they blew up the picture, and they developed it. And so they put it in a frame. And when Prabhupada was leaving, they gave him that picture. So he put it up to his head like this, and then looked at the picture. So then when we got to the airport in this room, Prabhupada went in this room, and they put the picture, there's the two couches like this, and there's an end table. They put the picture on that end table right there of Radha Govinda. And Srila Prabhupada sat on this couch, and this devotee with me, Rupa, sat on this couch, and everyone else sat on the floor, and then he slipped off the couch onto the floor. And Srila Prabhupada, there was a kirtan, and there's Jai Satchinandana was leading the kirtan, and he was like really right in front of Prabhupada with a mridanga, and he was chanting really into, like Haribo, Haribo, and Prabhupada says, yes. And then he chanted a little bit more mellow, and then after the kirtan, someone gave Srila Prabhupada a plate with watermelon sliced in little cubes. In those days, they didn't have the watermelon without seeds. They have it now. I don't know if they have it here, but they have it in the States. But this time, the watermelon had seeds. So they take out all the seeds and they cut them in little squares. And they offered it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada took the watermelon, the plate, and put it on the end table for the deities, for Radha Govinda, where the picture was. And then Prabhupada was talking, and one of the things he was saying, he called, actually Gopal Krishna was there. At the time he was married, and he just came from work, and he had a suit and tie on. And Prabhupada called him in. He was standing in the doorway. Prabhupada called him in, and he was like embarrassed to come in front of Prabhupada without devotional clothes. And he just went like this, and Prabhupada said, no, you come in. And he said, you are the real sannyasi, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. And then Prabhupada was talking to him, about his wife. His wife gave him a child. He said, you know, your wife. He was talking about his wife and then women in general. He says, women have to have bangles. He says, in India, if you can't afford gold or silver bangles, but then they have glass bangles, but they have to have bangles. So he was saying, and then he said, wherever there is a good leader, where grains are nicely kept and no quarrels in the household, automatically Lakshmi Devi will come to that home. He said, you don't even have to invite her. She will come. And then he asked Gopal Krishna, so you recently got a raise? And Gopal says, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And he said, you should give that money to Bali Madan, who was the temple president. He said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was really into everyone completely surrendered. He's just working. He's got a job. He got a raise. And he can't even keep it for himself. He has to give it to the temple. And then he was talking. Somehow or other, he was talking about the woman. Brahmananda, who was a sannyasi at the time, said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, today the women want the men to stay home and take care of the house, and they want to go and out and work, and the men take care of all the household chores. And Srila Prabhupada said, that is why you took sannyas. And then Brahmananda looked a little like, you know, upset or bewildered. And Prabhupada said, no, that is okay. And then, I don't know how many people know this story. This is a little history about a New York temple. But there was this one woman there who turned out to be a really, I don't know, really terrible person. She wasn't very good, but she was kind of like a demon. But she was living in the temple, and somehow or other, she was, it was told from around the whole movement at the time that she was this great devotee. And then she's offering Prabhupada incense. She has, you know, she's in the room and she's offering incense. And she's offering it, I'm going to try to imitate the way I saw her offering the incense. It was like, and when I saw her offering the incense, I immediately thought, to me, she looks like a phony. But then I checked myself because I didn't want to be offensive against this great devotee. You know, why I thought like that. Then later on, I read, you know, after it was revealed what this person was like, I read where too much devotion is a sign of a thief. So I realized at that time that Prabhupada knew, you know, where she was, but of course didn't say anything. After she offered Prabhupada the incense, then she's stuck with some burning incense in her hand, and she didn't know what to do with it. So Bali Madan took the incense from her. And he didn't know what to do with it. So Prabhupada motioned to give him the incense. So they gave Prabhupada the incense. And then he took a piece of that watermelon on the Didi plate and took it off and stuck the incense in the watermelon. And everybody was ecstatic. Anyway, Prabhupada's association was really very rare and very, very special. So that's just one pastime with Srila Prabhupada. Nice. Anybody have any other questions? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Krishna.